Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana Podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana Podcast. I'm Jim Reamer. We are all present and accounted for. We're probably all watching Michigan and Washington. Anybody watching something else?
Nope.
Dom,
we can just watch it on Dom's screen.
Here we go.
Patrick, too, a little bit. Patrick's TV is ahead of mine. Washington finally got the end zone.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Jeez. Come on. I'm like 2 seconds behind.
Well, I can't help it. I was 2 seconds behind Patrick's TV. Oh, there's a flag. Sorry.
Come on, Hulu TV. We got to speed it up.
More spoilers. All right. We don't really have a big topic today. We're going to get into some stuff next week, but we got our weekly stuff, and Zach's going to get us up to date on some recruiting. So, Zach, take her away.
Yeah. Josiah Dunham. Evansville Christian got a Huntington offer. Jackson Fugate, Northside, Fort Wayne, Brescia offer. Let's see what else we got. A couple commitments. I'll skip those for now. Julian Gish. Is that how we say it?
Gish? Yes.
Gish. From Pike Central, Indiana, Columbus offer. Lucas Underwood, who is from Crown Point, but now at Bosco, also got a Columbus offer. Columbus's first year of a program, correct? Is that what we're assuming?
Yeah, they don't have a schedule listed, so I assume it's
okay. Mari Moore had a couple offers. I can't remember the other one, but he had a Calumet St. Joe offer. He's from Knoll. Brady Kohler, 2025 from Cathedral with a Notre Dame offer. Michael Wellman, a 2025 also from Portage, a Grace offer. Trey Hinton from Gary Westside. He's a 2026, a Northern Illinois offer. And then our commitments, we had Wyatt Zeller commit to McKendree, D2. We had Josiah Gustin from Pendleton Heights commit to Marion, along with Justin Sims, who from Chesterton, who also committed to Marion. Damari Hood from Delta committed to St. Francis in Fort Wayne. And Riley Shepard from Tibby Valley is going to Huntington, and that's a JV commitment.
Anything stand out there, guys?
Marion getting two nice pickups.
Yeah.
Gustin Sims.
Good athletes in the front court. And I think Gustin's got enough skill to be kind of stretchy.
Did we mention Jaden Ford there from Tech?
No, I did not.
Sorry, yeah. I missed that one. Jaden Ford from Arsenal Tech. Highland offer, JUCO. Sorry.
Good for him.
I had that one.
So Gustin and – oh, sorry, yeah. So Gustin and Sims are fairly different players.
They're pretty similar. But, yeah, Gustin is probably more skilled at this point.
Better score, too.
Yeah. And again, with Sims, I think we thought maybe that's where his game would go when he was a freshman. And I don't know that he's, you know, again, there's a difference between getting better at something and having something be good enough that it translates to game action. You know, and especially during school season and what it might look like at the next level. The AAU scene, again, it's something I'm part of, so I feel like I still try to be objective about it. It's, you do play a lot of, you know, most times you play better talent than what you play during the school season. Certainly you play teams that are more talented 1 through 7, for example. But you do play teams that don't scout 90% of the time, and you do play teams that don't game plan 90% of the time. And a lot of that is, even if coaches wanted to scout, it's tough because the teams will play them, we were all playing so tight, such a tightly condensed schedule. It's tough to make it to another game sometimes, unless it just absolutely positively works out. And when it does, I do scout, and we do a little bit of a game plan, but it's still what, a 5 or 10 minute talk before our next game. So it's not like there's no walkthroughs. Every now and then we get an early jump on a team. We might spend a half hour on them before the game, but it's still, everything's talking and whiteboards. So it's not a situation where you really get to prepare, other than maybe mentally. You watch well-coached teams, especially at the high school level, especially teams that have a number of assistants and good assistants. They're a lot of times they're calling out the other team's offense just as quickly as the other team is. And they have defensive calls based on the other team's offense, and there's just none of that at that level. And so a kid like Sims probably gets a little bit more space in the summer. And so then what he's got to do now is he's got to continue to progress his perimeter game and get to a point where he can be a little bit more versatile. His shot's improved, right? I feel like his shot's improved, but he still needs just a lot of space and time to get it off.
Trey Hinton with his first D1 offer, correct?
Yeah.
Northern Illinois. I haven't seen them in person yet, but I've seen a couple things on stream. Has anyone, Zach, have you seen them in person?
I have not seen Gary's Westside this summer or this year. I saw him last year that when they played at Marion.
Okay.
Yeah, in the game I intended to go to, they get, well, we at first thought it would get postponed, the Valpo game, because of football with Valpo. But then they played it, but by then I'd already made other plans and have not had a chance to get back up there yet. So I watched them a little bit in the summer, but it was tough. It wasn't against very good competition.
Looks like they're having a good year.
Yeah, they are. They got a lot of talent.
They're super young too.
Yeah. I don't know that they really, if they play a senior, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know who it would be. They've got two or three really good juniors, and they've definitely got two sophomores that have a presence, Hinton being one of them,
They're
Tyler
down at,
Cruz being the
oh, go
other
ahead.
one. But
They're down at Tinley on Saturday.
oh, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, Carmel
3:30.
Brownstown. Oh,
Afternoon game.
Afternooner.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Tough to pass up.
Double dip.
Double dip. Yep.
Anybody knows how to fix a suspension? Let me know. Get that cleaned up by Saturday. It'd be great.
Him plays for Indiana Elite, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He I
He's like the
believe he
only
still
one on
does.
that.
He's the only one that's from Indiana on that
Yeah.
team. Well,
Yeah,
no,
from last year.
Harrell is now too.
Oh, okay.
Evan Harrell. But yes, Hinton was the only kid from Indiana on that team last year.
Then only watched them once. That's it.
Same. Just not much of incentive when they don't have that many. And like I said, the game I saw him play wasn't against great competition.
Was that like that first week in May? I feel like that's when I watched them.
No, it was at Finch Creek. It was pretty early in
Yeah.
the year, I think.
It was definitely spring.
It may have been the last week of April, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Not coaching last year, I went to, I was at an event every weekend, but I, other than Fort Wayne, I didn't travel. Still saw a lot of good basketball.
St. France is a good spot for Hood.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's really versatile at that level. Because he's a strong kid that posts up mismatches right now and shoots it well enough. And I think he's got to get I don't know. I think he's, there's times where I think he has to get used to not being the best athlete on the floor. But that's just hard to do sometimes, especially because he's a pretty good athlete. So, he'll have to, he'll get quick, or he'll get like just translate his skills a little bit quicker, get into a shot quicker. I'm trying to think. He saw him play a little bit last, a lot last summer, and a lot of his stuff was catch and shoot or drive straight. And of course, he's good in space when he's got room. So,
What about Dunham? Do we know if he still has that Evansville offer from a couple years ago and Southern
no,
Illinois Edwardsville? No.
I don't know about SIUE. I don't know about that one, but the Evansville one is not current.
We think he ends up in AI then?
Yeah, I don't. It's a hard bird to figure out because he had such an early presence at the high school level, and he was good in the summers, and a lot of that I do believe was just because he was, not just because, but a lot of that was impacted by him being an early maturing kid. It's not unlike Travis Perry. It's not the same level, of course, level of production. I think the school Perry's at, Patrick knows better than all of us, maybe, that they play a much stronger schedule and win at that schedule, correct?
Yes, they do. They're one of the top two teams in the state of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Is that Lyon
They're a really
County?
small school too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just saw he's got like 4,500 high career points in high school, counting eighth grade.
Yeah, he played in seventh grade as well, I believe.
Oh,
Jeez.
crazy.
yeah, and those that listen, Kentucky has different rules than Indiana, so.
His dad's been his coach at the high school level as well. But he's a bucket. He's a good ball player.
But with Dunham, I don't. I mean, I feel like if you think he can play the point, then he's probably definitely a Division II kid. But I don't know about his, I'm not seeing enough to determine how well he makes reads and initiates offense. And I mean, he does a lot of stuff for Evansville Christian, but as we've talked internally, between the five of us, the Evansville Christian Heritage Hills game was just hard to watch. Chalk it up to early season. And I don't think it was because either team is tremendous defensively. And I don't,
Early morning.
yeah, that would be the only thing. Two teams from the extreme southwest part of the state driving up to Brownsburg to play each other.
Probably played Friday night.
I think Bill Christian did play Friday night.
But no, I think he's somewhere between NAIA and the Valley. But I don't know that I ever saw him being a Valley guy. Now
I'd
you
like
still
to give
be.
a congrats to my old boy Wyatt Zellers on his commitment. I remember coaching him in middle school ball, and he was about 6 foot, 6'1", 7th grade, and he always knew. I mean, his dad's tall, his mom or his aunt was a former Mr. Basketball. You always knew he was gonna turn out, and
His aunt was
yeah,
a former
congrats.
Mr. Basketball.
Miss
Awesome.
Basketball.
Oh,
Oh
there we
boy.
go.
Oh,
I was going to say, hold on,
oh.
wait a minute.
Southern India is different, huh?
Sorry, Renee.
My bad.
Oh, that's a Westmoreland?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually drove down to watch
But
them play.
oh, did you?
The
Way back, huh?
Warriorettes.
That's a good fit for him. He had a couple D2 offers, a few NAIA offers, and he went with McKendry. Can really stretch the floor, man. He's a legit 6'8".
maybe 6'9", you know.
See,
Good ball player.
I would have no doubt in my mind that Dunham could play in the GLVC. No doubt.
That's fair to say.
That's McKendree's part of that conference. That's University of Indianapolis. And but again, the Crossroads League especially, but Indiana NAIA schools benefit greatly from the fact that there just isn't that big of a Division II presence in the state of Indiana.
Was gonna say, in UIndy, they don't even grab many Indiana kids, do they?
Not a lot.
No, they got Rutland coming in, but
Yeah, not a lot. Well, and I don't know. We go through it, the transfer portal being what it is,
yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like when they do, it's usually guys coming back.
and the kids they want to recruit. And I would agree with this wholeheartedly. The kids they want to recruit kids that are getting low Division One offers. And Rutland was kind of getting some of that too. And then then from that point on, they make decisions, the distance from home, or is it a team that's winning? Indianapolis checks a lot of those boxes. Plus, his dad went there. I mean, Indianapolis checks a lot of big boxes. And Rutland's probably a kid that really values his dad. I've not met anybody else in his family except his dad and his uncle. It's because they both played. So I'm sure there's other, I'm sure his mom's involved. I'm sure there's grandparents involved. But you don't see Ron the Third without Ron Jr. attached in a basketball venue. Oh, even the games, even their off nights, they're at the same game. And then they may not go together, but they're both there. It's funny to seeing they don't miss many nights in the basketball gym. They're like most of us.
Well, that's good for him because dad'll be courtside at every game, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, it's
Yeah.
all his alma mater.
I wonder if they're going to offer the Kent boy here in another year. So,
You said Kent?
yeah, from Jennings County,
Robbie? Or yeah, not Robbie.
Carter.
Carter. Yeah, I don't know. I've not seen Carter play enough.
Yeah, hell of a weekend for him, man.
They play Lawrenceburg. All
Don't believe so, Jim.
right, damn it. All right.
Bummer.
Right, best game. Best we're changing our features every week. We're trying to get these episodes down lower than 2 hours, so hopefully we can squeeze that out. We're trying to hit these anywhere from 90 minutes to 1 hour 45. That's still too long for Kyler tonight. But we're going best
Especially when we
game.
drag recruiting out like that too. Geesh.
Yeah, best game. Well, we don't have a topic. Best game or team, then best player. So last week we tried it, and I was as guilty as anybody. We went over on the. I spent as much time on the team as I did the game. Patrick did too. And I started it, so it was my fault. So we're just going to go best team or game, and then
Andor.
best and no,
Oh,
just
geez.
or. Best team or game?
Ooh.
Because I'm assuming if it's a best team, it's either going to be a good game or a super impressive performance.
Just throw some ties in there.
I know.
I tried to do Warsaw as my best performance, so I got top
Best
down.
back on that.
That was your best player. You named all five Warsaw starters.
Well,
All
can't
right,
help
Kyler,
it.
you go first.
Beat
All
down
right.
Washington.
That way nobody takes the one game you saw last week. You go
Yeah,
first.
everyone just relax. Yeah, I didn't make it to I mean, only made it to one game last week. Had some IU stuff, other work obligations, but the game I did make it to, probably the best game I've seen all season long. Rebuff Jesuit. Am I get that right?
There you go.
The Fighting Jesuits. Let's go.
I almost said Jesuit. I wanted to, but Rebuff Jesuit at
He's been
Zionville.
practicing that
Been
all
saying
day.
secretly at my cubicle all day.
Jesuit, Jesuit, Jesuit.
But yeah, no, great game. Started off, it looked like it was going to be a lopsided game. Rebuff was really taking it to Zionsville. Evan Haywood, man. I think in the first half, I think I counted he had six threes. And he was getting those shots anytime he wanted to. He was calling the shot. I mean, there was a lot of times where he would steal the ball. I think I counted two back to backs where he stole the ball, pulled up, and just nailed a three. I think Snively was on him. Drew Snively from Zionsville was on him most of the time. Maybe McGuire Mitchell was on him a little bit, but Evan Haywood was going off. Brebeuf got the lead all the way up to, I think, 18 in the first half. Ended up was leading Zionsville by, I think, 12 at halftime. But give credit to Zionsville. They just kept plugging away at it. Evan Haywood was the best player for, I would say, for the first three quarters. But once Zionsville kind of, just stopped the guys around him, that's when Zionsville was able to get back into the game. And you got to give a lot of credit to McGuire Mitchell. He really just, put the scoring, on his shoulders. Real aggressive, was getting to the foul line, attacking the drives, attacking the wings really, really aggressively. He was hitting some threes as well. I don't know how many he had, but I would say he had probably at least four or five as well. Just really took it to him. The fourth quarter was pretty tight. Drew Snively ended up fouling out for Zionsville. I thought that was kind of going to be the backbreaker there. I think he finished with around 14 points, I would say. Fouled out with probably about two or 3 minutes left to go. But Zionsville's guys just stepped up. McGuire Mitchell hit some clutch free throws down the stretch. They got some key defensive stops. I will say throughout the game, Brebeuf, Reese Butcher, and then I think it's Javon Brooks.
Yeah.
Those guys were hitting some big shots as well. Real sneaky. They just kind of, they play really well off of Haywood. Kind of both, especially Reese Butcher is kind of that silent killer, I would say. He really makes you remember him on the floor. When Haywood's not hitting shots, it's always Reese is right next to him. So, but Zionsville ended up winning. I think the final score was 65-64. Big win. The crowd rushed the court. The student sections loved it. It was a good game, really, really good game. And Zionsville, even though they've been pretty inconsistent this year, it was a big win for them. Probably their biggest of the season, I would say so far.
Are you just gonna go with your best player now, so that way when you want to
Yeah.
dip out, you can?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with McGuire Mitchell. I think he ended up with 32 points.
He did.
If the game, if Haywood, had was the leading scorer, I probably would have went with him. But I really could just do a tie. I mean, Evan Haywood, Butler commit. I think Butler's getting a sneaky good player with him. Hopefully he's gonna be a guy that's gonna be there for multiple years. You never know with the transfer portal and everything like that. But I think he's gonna be an impact player right away, especially shooting. From three, but we've always talked about with Haywood, he's just gotten better and better, especially last summer, had that breakout summer. You really see it now. A lot of confidence in his game, but McGuire Mitchell, man, he was playing aggressive as well. Like I said, was shooting some threes, he was attacking pretty well. Just really stepped up when Zionsville needed him to. So, got to give it to him with 32 point performance.
Hopefully I didn't get that on. Hopefully I muted that, but we'll see. Dominique and I know have talked about it. I can't remember if we've talked about it in our Slack channel. I think last year, well, I mean, Snively's gotten offers that Mitchell hasn't. And I know Dominique and I have talked, like I said, between the two of us, and I don't if we've extended it to you guys, then perhaps, but is Mitchell past him? Not that it necessarily matters for Zionsville's success this year, but just from a, obviously we talk a lot about recruiting. We talk a lot about evaluation. I mean, Snively has some good offers. Mitchell just quite isn't there yet. And this isn't just for Kyler. This is for anybody.
It seems at the high school level this season, I mean, Mitchell McGuire is a, I mean, he's a legit junior all-star candidate. And he's the one that's kind of putting up the numbers this year. Now, I'm not sure in terms of like what the college coaches see and, college prospects. Maybe they feel like Snively's a better prospect, but I don't know, man. Mitchell McGuire, Indiana elite kid, putting up numbers. It's hard not to see him getting a few looks and a few offers here eventually. I think it's going to happen for him.
They both will be on the same team this year.
Both on the top
Signing-wise.
team or
No. As I understand it, no.
okay.
Snively's got offers from Illinois State, Western Carolina. I've had conversations I've had conversations with a member of the Illinois State coaching staff who may or may not have connections to Zionsville. Obviously, they stepped up with an offer, so they've liked what they've seen. Who's any thoughts defensively? Who's better, Mitchell or Snively?
I'd say Snively just a little bit, just based off what I saw that one game.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. You know, the roles last year were both very similar. They were mostly catch and shoot guys that provide space for Iams and Rehart. We talked a little bit earlier this year about because McGuire Mitchell has had some big games, so he's been brought up multiple times this season so far. He has been able to do more off the dribble than he certainly has shown up to this year. And it's obviously translating very well because he's having a great year. And Patrick, he's right there in the junior all-star conversation. He has to be.
I think he's definitely getting on there.
I see Drew is a 6'4", two guard, and McGuire is a 6'5", kind of a wing, small forward. Is
I mean,
that fair to say? I mean, maybe that's has something to do with, okay, he's got a couple more offers.
well, I think it's who can they guard? I think there is some of that question. And I think that, I agree with Kyler's take that Snively is probably a little bit better at this point. But, I could nitpick reasons why I think but that's, maybe the team he was on, he got a longer look than. And in a longer leash than what Mitchell did. You know, there were some games last summer where McGuire didn't really get a ton of clock.
I mean, Drew's still averaging 17 points a game, four rebounds, and I mean, he's probably guarding the other team's one of their best players. Is that fair to say,
Yeah,
Kyle?
he was on Evan Haywood until he fouled out. Now there'll be times
That's
where he where
solid.
Haywood there'll be times where Mitchell would just get, just kind of go off, rotate off of him or whatever. But as far as just defense, it was Snively 90% of the time on Haywood.
Yeah, I think they do view him as the better defender. I mean, he guarded Kudo when they played Carmel. You know, and Kudo struggles with length, so that's not only was that a quality, not only was that length, but that's also a quality defender. I keep going back to the Kokomo game with him where he has 28, he torches Beard. And I bet every day in practice, Beard's probably the better defender than Hamill. But Hamill did a good job getting through screens when he had chances to guard Kudo, and his length bothered him. There in the especially in the second half, Snively is length and a high caliber defender, certainly a plus defender.
So they play different positions at the next level, though.
I think they guard different positions. I think offensively they're identical.
Both the two.
No, I just think they're. Look, I know we have lists, and we put positions with players. I know as I build teams, I worry about skill set, size, and who can you guard. I don't worry about positions. I do think you have to have a point guard who has a certain mentality. Not that all of your point guards have to have that mentality, but I think you got to have one. It'd be nice if they all, if you could trust them all as playmakers versus just scorers. I think everybody has to have a rim run big and a rim protector. But the in between, the wings and the fours, and it's all in who you can guard and what your skill set is. It's mostly positionless, but it's, I think offensively they're the same player. I just think they're both wings. That makes sense. I think that There is a level where Mitchell probably can guard the four. I don't think that's a Division One level, but I do think he's Kyler. You think he can guard his position at the D1 level? Because that's what because that's the question.
With a small sample size this year, no. But could I see it? Possibly.
Like no, as in no way in hell, or no, as in he needs to get better.
Needs to get better. I'll say
Okay.
that.
Because they were good defensively, the two games that I saw.
It might be a
They.
case where he gets a couple D1 offers, small D1 offers, but a best fit would be like a Huntington level.
Or University of Indianapolis.
There you go.
Or a
Yeah.
GLVC team. Yeah. I don't know. If I'm a school, if I like Snively, I don't see why I don't like Mitchell. I think Mitchell works at it defensively. But again, we're nitpicking here on just types of college recruiting interest.
I think they'll both end up playing Division One basketball.
That's not. So Mitchell has no offers. What are we? Is that what we're saying?
Be curious to see if one separates themselves from the other, especially in the summer, or if they just kind of coast together.
Well, you heard what I just said about defensive or scheming and game planning. All that. They're both liable to have big summers offensively.
Well, yep.
I mean, I was super impressed with how Coach Howell used both of them too. And again, the game that I focused the most on was the Carmel game, the first game of the year, where they had stuff in there to post up smaller guards. And Zionsville doesn't really have a point guard. So they had opportunities or situations where they were exchanging out who their primary ball handler was between Snively and Mitchell. And then Telker is a good shooter. And a kid that doesn't need the ball, like he's gonna shoot the damn thing no matter how many times he touches it. And that I mean that in a good way, because they find him in clutch moments, but he's not a ball handler. So those two guys are it. And there might be some times this year where they struggle because they don't have a natural fit at the point. But those two guys share those duties. So, but what that does then is it puts opportunities where one of them might be guarded by somebody smaller. And that was something that Carmel couldn't get away from, and Zionsville completely exploited it. Carmel tried to switch up, and they went from McGuire Mitchell posting up to Snively posting up. And that's kudos to JR and his staff for recognizing that on the fly, and I know it is a part of what they do, but how they changed it up based on matchups in real time was pretty impressive. I need to go back and look and see who the other game Zionsville I saw play. Oh, it was well Bloomington North. That was not a great game. But Bloomington North didn't have everybody there either. So, all right, Kyle, you dip out when you want.
I'm going to do so right now.
Are
So,
you really? All right, man. Text us your lock. Text me your lock.
I'll just tell you my lock right now.
Uh-oh.
Cathedral of Garen Catholic.
Is that a lock? Is
You
that
taking Garen Catholic then?
taking Garen Catholic? Is that
No.
a hot take? Is that what is that? That's no offense to Garen Catholic, but
I'm just patting stats. Just patting stats.
Cathedral's kind of rolling people right now.
Hey, you never know. It could be sneaky.
Cathedral over Garen Catholic. All right.
Do they have two of their players, or did Providence get
That's
them?
true.
Yeah. Jeez. So.
Cathedral not really part of the diocese program, so the Catholic diocese program. So, who knows? Garen Catholic and Providence may have been working in cahoots to.
Good.
That's only a joke because it's the diocese thing. Because Cathedral is not really part of the diocese, is not part of the diocese system. Neither are the Jesuits of Brebeuf. They are.
I didn't get jumped. I'll just say that. I didn't get jumped by any Rebuff fans. I was in disguise. I was in the corner hidden.
I just go hang out with Brooks's dad. Nobody will mess with me. See, I got nothing to worry about. No, it's Rebuff and North Central both very close to home, so those are always good opportunities to watch good basketball. So, all right, Kyler, have a good week, bud. We'll talk to you.
All right, later, guys.
Get the
I'm
hell
gonna
out of
get
here.
here.
All right, Dominique, whoever, I don't care who goes next.
I'll
Somebody
go.
get, it's just better than silence.
Best game was Tuesday night, Fort Wayne Canterbury at Leo. It was really good games all the way throughout. A lot of shot making, a lot of guys playing well. At the end of the first quarter, Leo, it was tied at 18. Jackson McGee had 16 of the 18. He just came out hitting everything from from three, and he had a couple tough mid-range pull-ups with, contested pull-ups where he was just hitting. I mean, it just seemed like the, he was shooting it in the ocean. I mean, just couldn't miss at a certain point there. He had 23 at half. He ended with 35. And like I said last week, Canterbury got their their full team now. Tucker Day, it was his first game. And then John Parent, he started for him as well. He's a 6'4", 6'5" wing. And then two guys off the bench that came over from Homestead was Jackson Davis. He had a really good game. And then Colin Berta as well. Like I said, they all were eligible. They all played. But yeah, this one was really close all the way throughout. It was tied at half at 36. And then it got down to the end, and just a wild ending. I think I forget how it got to this point, but Canterbury was down two with the ball, and John Parent caught one on the left wing and drove it baseline, finished up on the right side of the hoop to tie it up. And Leo advanced it to half court, called timeout with 16 seconds. And they inbounded the ball to Jackson McGee, and Devin Lewis picked them up. They threw it in at half court, threw it backwards. So McGee went and got it. Devin Lewis went all the way up, tightened him up on defense. And it was noticeable because that's the first time that Devin Lewis guarded him all game. And everyone knew, like, this is going to Jackson McGee. He had 35 at that point. But he takes it over half court, reverses it to the wing, and cuts through the middle of the floor out to the left side. And everyone thought, Canterbury's in man-to-man. As soon as he cut through the left side, Devin Lewis stopped. Like, he followed him all the way through the middle of the court, stopped, and ran back to the ball. Leo tried to reverse it, thinking they're in man. And Devin Lewis just jumped the passing lane and took it all the way down. And no one for Leo got back. There was like 5 seconds left, and he's got a wide-open layup to win the game. And it was insane watching it because I saw he had a way, he had enough time. It's just a wide open layup. He goes up for the layup on the left side of the rim with his right hand to bank in a layup, and he hits nothing but the backboard. I was like, and then Tucker Day was right there to tip it in at the buzzer, and Canterbury won. But I was just like shocked because I could see the time. Obviously, I knew there's more than enough time for him to lay it in. But then after the game, we talked to him, and he said he didn't know how much time there was. He was just trying to get it up. He didn't want the buzzer to go off. But he probably had like 2.5 seconds right at the rim to lay it up. But it's obviously when you're in the heat of the moment, it's hard to know the time. But no, it was really, really good game. Canterbury ended up winning by two, and huge win for them. And then for Leo, Jackson McGee had 35. Nolan Heitschu ended with 12, and then unfortunately, Solomon Richard went down with an injury. He's one of the, they have four guys who can really score it. And Solomon Richard, he was on the break and his knee gave out on him. And I think he knew right away it wasn't good. He hobbled over to the bench. He couldn't put any pressure on it. And then he came back out of the locker room on crutches and couldn't put any weight on his knee. So not sure what happened there, but it doesn't seem too good for him. But that was my game of the week.
So Canterbury sits at 2-6. I've kept them in my top 10 in 1A. I think the whole time.
Two and six, yet probably a 1A favorite up north.
I mean, that's the
One of
question.
them.
So that's where I'm going with that.
They had two good losses, close losses against Lures and Blackhawk before they even got those guys.
I mean, I'm the only one that's kept them in the top 10. Not that. So my question is, because I know as soon as you saw them play together, finally, Dominique, you basically tweeted out that, they're going to be a problem at
Yeah,
the 1A.
I would have had them in my 1A. I'll be honest, I completely forgot about them when I did my rankings.
Oh, they were one in
So,
five when we did this. So they may have even been one in six when we did our last one. I can't remember if they. Well, it was, yeah, they were 1-5 heading into Leo game.
yeah.
Anything on their schedule? Obviously, they like if they lose Lakewood Park or they lose to Hamilton,
That's not happening. Yeah.
Smith
Smith
Academy,
Academy,
or Lakeland and
Lakeland
Chris.
Christian.
Oh, there's a lot of bad
Yeah.
teams there.
Yeah.
Then they play the gaggle of 4A schools. They're going to have a bad record going into March. When do we lose? What's the game that we lose faith in them?
I don't think there's any game really. I mean,
Fremont, six and five.
They're not going to lose to Hamilton, I promise you that. But Smith Academy, there's no way they lose to them.
I mean, their schedule's weird. I don't know what the man. I know they lost, but I'm looking at their schedule, so it's not like I'm pulling this out of thin air. They lost to Manchester by five. Manchester, obviously one of the better teams at 2A.
These are
I
all on the
mean,
road, by the way, at Manchester, at Lures, at Blackhawk.
I mean, they're playing teams that we have ranked at the 2A level. Leo, we're back and f some of us are back and forth with them on at the 3A level. Eastside's 500 for two. I mean,
Adam Central's good.
Adam Central's having a good year there, and they've got some young guards that they're building around. I mean, it wouldn't be unusual for them to lose to Huntington North,
No. Yeah,
just
north
because
side.
I've got a lot of belief in Coach Thompson, just in general. They're gonna. It wouldn't be strange to lose to Fort Wayne. None of those 4A teams in their schedule left. It wouldn't be a surprise they lost to them.
Hell, they
Maybe
only play 4 1As
New
the whole
Haven.
year.
Well, Northrop hasn't won a game.
Oh, have they not? Oh, yeah. There
No.
you go. Well, see, that's you're gonna know more about those pieces than any of us probably.
Yeah. I mean, if they can beat Leo, I think they can beat Northrop.
I mean, what are you thinking here? Like two, three losses tops left on that schedule?
No, they could lose. No, I don't.
I mean, you're looking at Fort Wayne
Yeah.
North, Fort Wayne Wayne, and maybe Huntington North.
Yeah.
I think there's a, yeah, I still think there's a level there where, like, if North beats them,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. They got some pretty bad losses.
New Haven. I mean, New Haven just beat who? Snyder. Snyder's younger, but they're having a pretty decent year. So New Haven will present a problem for them athletically and those type of things for sure.
I think they get past 500 here
Let's let but
eventually.
let's say they lose all the 4A games. Let's just say they do. And
Well,
let's
who's the
say,
Culver Academy tournament? Anyone know that?
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Hold on.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
No, I just was saying, let's say they lose all the 4A games. So, they're definitely going to go in with double digit losses based on that scenario. And if they start winning those games, then holy cow. Like if they beat Fort Wayne North tomorrow night,
Really good win.
that's a
Yeah,
really good win.
if they lose that, I wouldn't dock them for
No,
that.
that's what, yeah, that's what I'm
No,
saying.
no.
That's what, yeah, I don't, I still have him in my top 10. I haven't taken him out yet. I mean, I know we've sort of poked a little fun at the situation. Those four kids from Homestead now at Canterbury, but okay, that part's over. Now we're looking at the season, and well, they're gonna have more talent than most 1A teams.
Oh yeah, especially in the north.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at their sectional, man, it's pretty thin.
I did not realize Northfield was 1A. Well, I'd say it's pretty thin. Southwood's, tell you what, Southwood's intriguing. I went up and watched them the other day. They're another team. They're 2-0 in their class and 2-0 in their sectional. Now they've not played Canterbury, and they're not playing Canterbury. I don't think. Nope, they're not playing Canterbury. You know, Southwood goes to the state finals with a losing record last year. I mean, they got
Dominique,
rolled.
how good is the day kid? What level are we thinking? What did he look like?
We'll talk about him here in a little bit.
I got you.
I mean, we've talked about it internally quite a bit before you got involved. Because he has played on some good AAU teams that that Zach and Dominique and I have had a chance to watch. And I think there's been some ebb and flow into what kind of player we think he's going to be. But yeah, we'll wait till Dominique gets to that part, I guess. So, Patrick, what was your top game?
Well, I went to a couple games that I thought were going to be pretty good. They kind of turned out to be duds in terms of like close games. But if
Are
I
you a
have
top
to,
team, top game or top team? I keep forgetting that part.
well, let's just go with the big rivalry down here, the Jeff New Albany game. Jeff kind of took control of that game early. I mean, they took a 7, 8 point lead into halftime, but third quarter, there's a kid on New Albany, had a really nice game, 6'4" junior guard, Rylan Schrenk, who not too many people outside of this area know about, but he is a sniper, man. He can shoot that thing. He finished with 21, got New Albany right back into it. They took a 1 point lead in the early in the fourth quarter, and then Jeff kind of just went on a run late to end it. But really impressed with the Shrink boy for New Albany. They got a lot of underclassmen. I wouldn't surprise me if one of these teams jumps up and gets Jeffersonville in the sectional. You've got Bedford who's been rolling. You've got Seymour who's better. Floyd took a strange loss this week, but
Saw
you
that.
can't completely count them out. And, Jennings County had a hell of a win. Maybe as good a win as anybody against Brownstown. So that sectional is just brutal. Jeff ended up getting that one though. Michael Cooper had a good game. Their senior Jeremy Rose kind of saved him there in the first half. He had about 16, I believe, in the first half, and he's actually a New Albany transfer. So big game for him coming home. Trey Singleton had 12. PJ Douglas, he had an off game. He actually had an off weekend. But game of the week, Jeff New Albany.
Did you guys see this Ja Morant piece?
Yeah, done for the season.
Yeah, done for the season. And
What
Halliburton.
happened?
We were chit-chatting about Halliburton saying, wait, we don't know exactly what's going on with him, blah, blah, blah. And here Ja Morant
Torn
tears
labrum.
his shoulder.
I saw Halliburton was his hamstring, right?
Hamstring, yeah.
I'm all right tomorrow.
Labrum tearing his shoulder for Ja. He's done. Rough year for Memphis. Yeah. Jeff New Albany, that's going to be like a big deal next year, right? I mean, it was kind of a big deal this year. Again, they're both, I mean, we all like Jeff. I mean, I know they've hit a little bit of a wall right now. But I
Yeah,
think they'll
they've certainly
bounce.
got the talent. It's just
They'll
a
bounce
matter
back
of
when
all the.
they're not playing seven games in 13 days. I think they'll figure out a way to bounce back.
Yeah, New Albany, they've got a nice coach down there. They really like him. The Jones, Coach Jones down there. He runs, lets the kids run, a lot of 3-point shots. It's just a fun offense to play in. So they're gonna try to put up a lot of points and a lot of shots.
Good thing they didn't stick with the previous coach then.
Yeah, I think he liked to slow it down, didn't he?
Yeah, specifically. Shannon didn't like to slow it down. He's one of those guys that's going to coach the whole year from March. So if he feels like he has to play a certain way to win in March, he's going to play the whole year like that. He obviously, when they had Romeo, they and other teams in the past, they've been more than willing to run and put up shots. But yeah, Teagle's teams. I mean, I don't know. But probably, I'm sure he feels the same way about his system. If he's got the horses to run, he probably runs. But he's just never. He's always been in a situation where he's really tried to control tempo. And, I don't know. When you feel like you've got the talent to run, but you don't. I don't know. Just like it would have been interesting. Not a whole lot different than when Mark James left Franklin Central to go to Ben Davis. People wondered around here if it was a good fit, not questioning his greatness as a coach. Just, Franklin Central always tried to control tempo, even with Ashworth, John Ashworth and Juwan Johnson. And, he changed according to his talent there at Ben Davis. Obviously, won a state championship with him too. So.
Yeah, I mean it got kind of messy down here at New Albany this off season,
Yeah.
but I think they got a guy that that New Albany, they've always liked to run and gun, and that's kind of the way they want to play it. Now they got a guy they like with the offense they like, and they got the talent to do it this year, and most definitely coming up. Jeff, man, they got Providence this coming weekend, so it's no rest for them.
No, Jeff has done a good job with their schedule. I mean, it's not going to be great. It's not the best for maximizing wins and losses, but again, it's all about March.
Yeah, I believe they're 7-6 right now, but there's not a, I guess the Seymour you could say was a bad loss, but
They didn't have Singleton in that game.
they didn't have Trey. That's right.
Yeah. And Seymour's not bad.
No, Seymour's
Yeah, this is not, yeah, this
sneaky good.
This is not the Seymour teams that were there before Coach Manns came in.
Yeah, if they draw a bye on Friday night and, get to that Saturday night game at home, they could surprise somebody.
That
What are we doing again? Best game, best team,
best
what?
game. We're a tightly run ship here. We are prepared.
Yes.
Best game or best team. If you didn't have a good game, or there's a team you want to talk about.
I'll talk about Cathedral since I usually don't talk about them or see them ever. I got the chance to see them last week against Knoll up here. Kind of a big deal for Knoll, I think, having them come to town. See what they're made of against the bigger gun like 4A Cathedral. We know what Cathedral's got. Knoll played them tight the first half. I don't know if Cathedral just looked kind of out of it, like discombobulated a little bit. I don't know what was going on, but
Probably the
sorry.
weekday drive to
I
Knoll.
mean, yeah, the weekday drive up north. It was an earlier game, 4, 5:30 or 6:30 game, I think. But
Six
still,
6:30. Well, it was listed 6:30
6:30
local.
Eastern. Yeah,
Yeah, so
well, 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 local
did
is what
anybody
they had.
travel more than Cathedral last week? I mean, they went to Knoll and then they came down to Providence
No. At
on
least Knoll
Saturday.
showed up. Last time they were up there, La Lu
Yeah,
didn't show up, so.
that's true. Anyway, sorry. Cathedral was up by six, only six at half. Kohler was the guy, though. I mean, best player on the floor by far. He finished with 29-6. He also is guarding Noel's best player, Caleb Parks, held him to 9 points. But he just couldn't handle the length and height, obviously, of Kohler. So he shut him down. Cathedral's guards were solid. Didn't score much, but did everything else really well. That LeBron and Kennedy. Really liked Aldridge. Aldridge played really well, like a bull in a china shop, just
Oh,
crashes boards, dies
Keaton,
off. Yes.
what'd you say his name?
Aldridge.
Aldridge, did you say his first name?
No.
No.
Oh, I thought you said, okay, I thought you said Andre Aldridge.
Oh,
I
no,
was
sorry. I just
trying
said
to figure out who
Aldridge.
that was for Noel.
Sorry.
Okay. All
Keaton,
right,
yeah.
so Keaton Aldridge,
Yes,
my bad
yes.
for half hearing that.
Rebounds well, defends super well. Just he's all over the place. Tough dude. But yeah.
I love his motor.
Yeah, crazy good motor.
See, that's a kid whose skill has just continued to develop. And, so you wonder how much of it translates to the school game. And it's starting to. And he's hitting threes at a decent clip. He's able to get through traffic. He's cleaned up some of the, well, he used to really rely on spinning a lot in traffic. Not anymore. Well, not definitely. He's just got more bag. He's got more tricks in his bag now. He's got more shots in his bag than and that's part of developing. So, but it's good to see it being able to translate to the school team for the reasons that I talked about earlier, and we've talked about a lot over the many podcasts of just less space in high school games. All right. Any more on that?
Nope, that was
What
it. Good to see
level do
Cathedral.
we think Caleb Parks is, Zach? I know you said Kohler guarded him, but
Yeah, I'm NAIA probably.
okay.
He might be able to go to a JUCO and get re-recruited, but I think NAIA is probably where he would end up.
What is he now? About 6'2"? Is he a two guard? Is he a point guard?
Yeah, because he shoots it well enough and he's super athletic, super bouncy.
Are they looking at our 3A poll? I mean, they got a chance, Hammond Knoll, to be a little bit different up north, right? Are they
Yeah,
gonna,
I mean,
I mean, they gonna be able to speed up South Bend St. Joe or?
man, it's St. Joe's so tough to figure out, right? Like they were beating Penn at halftime and then ended up losing to them. We've talked about their schedule a number of times too. They played a really
Right.
good tough
It's
schedule.
the Fort Wayne Canterbury discussion all over again.
Right.
Is it even South Bend St. Joe or is it Washington?
But I don't think it's Washington, though.
Yeah, I would say St. Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would even
I
say
mean,
Clay. I would put Clay in that conversation seriously though too. As
yeah.
a sneaky pick in that sectional if they're all healthy.
Yeah, we get to that point. We start talking about sectionals when we do our sectional, we do Patrick, we do a sectional preview every year. Which with five of us will probably be like a 3 hour pod for each class. We break them down into two or either two or four podcasts. I can't remember what it was last year. I'll look it up, but
Might as well be one per class.
yeah, might as well. It'll be 3 hour pods each one of them. But though it's the best player theory. So Stevie Reynolds, if you got Reynolds on the court in those games, he's gonna be the best player. Anytime you get the best player, you got a chance. It's the same thing we say about Sicily down at Heritage Hills, that there just comes a point where a guy like that can go bonkers, and that's be a difference maker.
Hey,
So
Noel, yeah, Noel. In fact, Noel, I don't see their sectional should be fairly simple. I mean, not simple, but I don't see them losing their sectional. They should win that. And then, I mean, anything else? Well, that feeds into what, like Tippy Valley, I think, probably would win theirs without going too far down there.
I don't think they would face them in region. Oh, they would. Never mind. Yeah, Clover
Yes.
Academy, Tippy Valley.
17, 18, 19, 20.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what I was kind of looking through too. 20 is Northwood, Wawasee. I mean, Null's got a chance that
Yeah.
if they don't meet up with St. Joe right away, they got a chance. Or say, yeah, the sectional 18, or I mean sectional 19 winner. I mean, just because I don't want to discredit Null, but I mean just because every other sectional seems so down, I think Null could make a little noise.
Yeah.
I would still choose St. Joe.
Interesting. All right, Tipton-Miconaqua. For the first time in a while, kind of the game I expected. I'd been to two Tipton games the last 2 years. They've lost all four of them. So two of each of the last 2 years. Miconaqua and Oak Hill both times. And you know, Miconaqua's still got Josiah Ball. He's their guy, and they have the best. I got to get his last name. They have the best name in high school basketball at Miconaqua, Fuddy Pyle. Hold on, let me make sure I get the last name right.
Is it
That's
really the
right.
best name though, Jim?
That's
Fuddy
right.
Fuddy Kyle. Yeah, I think it is. Is there a
Buddy
better
Pyle.
name? Is there a better name, like a more fun name than Fuddy Kyle?
Tell you what, Makaniqua's always got those kind
Patrick, I get
of
where you're
names.
going, but I'd still say Fuddy Kyle is the better name.
That's one I haven't heard before, that's for
There's
sure.
definitely not.
Fuddy.
Fuddy can't be his real name.
Well, they had Bauer Maple last year.
Well, but Bauer's a decent, and not that Fuddy's not a decent name. I'm saying Bauer's kind of a it's a name.
Yeah, so is Bauer. Bauer, I mean, still a solid name. Bauer Maple, come on.
No, I'm saying that Bauer Fuddy. It's not
I know, Fuddy's good too, I'm telling you.
like Bauer is
Jeez.
somebody's last name. Fuddy sounds like it's his grandfather's nickname. Let's name him after Grandpa Fuddy.
More like great 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 grandpa.
Just like I got a it's like I had an Aunt Mettie. So anyway, the last 2 years, Tipton, good talent. The games I saw, they didn't compete. Last year in Miconaqua, Oak Hill, they were not competitive physically. This year, different story. And you know, the personnel, we've talked a lot about different times, especially in their 2A preview. Grady Carpenter, Nolan Swan, they played this game against Miconaqua without one of their starting guards, probably their best or their second best shooter, Jackson Money, missed the game to be in his brother's wedding. The wedding was at 4:30.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
Is that like the prom or AAU game debate?
No, that's actually a debate. Yeah. Look, I got a lot of family in Tipton, so it's let's just say it was talked about a lot during the game. It ranged from where is he? And I didn't really participate. I just was listening to all this. I knew there was a chance they were going to be down a starter. I thought because maybe somebody got injured. I kind of wanted to make sure it wasn't Swan or Carpenter. But yeah,
Family
that's
over
a,
everything.
I guess, but weddings can be planned. I mean, this would be different if it was like an illness. I mean, I'm sure I'll get some hate DMs. I don't know who's 4:30 on a Friday. I mean, come on.
Save some money.
Sure.
I don't
But the
think they're
varsity,
gonna schedule around a regular season Tipton game.
for a wedding, if you want your brother in it, yeah, you do.
He was in it.
He was in it, yeah.
I understand that. But look, this wasn't the kid's decision either. So let's be real about that. Let's be real upfront about that.
The kid getting
So
married or the kid playing basketball?
probably neither. Probably neither. And the seven people I was sitting around, some good talk, some good old family discussions. And since it was all about basketball, I finally paid attention. The game was at four, or the wedding was at 4:30. Varsity games start at 7:30.
I don't see a problem with getting there after the wedding then.
See, right?
I've told you this, I went and played softball after my last daughter was born.
There we go. But you won't put them on eBay. Wow, that's
Won't put
just
them
a
on
lack of
eBay.
dedication. All right, so back to the game.
Grady Carpenter can't pass. What?
Yeah, Grady, absolute worst passer in the
Awful.
world. Terrible.
Turnover machine.
Terrible. I think people know how I feel about Grady Carpenter's passing. As a freshman, I said he was the second best passer in the state behind Braden Smith, who was a senior. Braden Smith graduated. There has been nobody to challenge Grady since Braden left. Grady's vision, his velocity, his decisiveness, his willingness to make the big pass. He did have two boneheaded turnovers. Just one of them just wasn't, he just tried to throw it without kind of squaring up. But Tipton kind of led the game the whole way. I mean, they were very different Tipton team than last year. I mean, they brought a lot of pieces back. So they were, we've all expected them to be one of the top four or five teams in 2A. None of that's changed. Nolan Swan was incredible. He hit eight threes. He had 34 points, but Carpenter had a triple double. And I thought Josiah Ball was good. It's going to sound weird that he was just good in that he had 30. He did what he had to do. He doesn't have as many pieces around him as that they've had in the past. I mean, last year, I don't think he led them in scoring. I think that was Zach's name child of Zen Bauer Maple, but
Right.
he did okay, and we can get into some discussions here. I know Patrick's going to have a question here. We'll save that question later if Patrick remembers the question. But
I'm just looking at some of their stats here. I mean, Grady's is he's definitely a stat stuffer. He's got 16 points, seven rebounds, two steals, nine, just over nine assists a game.
yeah.
Zero offers. Is he a Wabash kid? Is that what we're looking at? Or is he
No,
an AI kid?
I will burn, no, I will burn the state down if he doesn't. Look, I'm
Give
just gonna do
Jim
my.
Kellen Pickett, give him Grady Carpenter and Brady Kohler, and he's good. That's
I'm just
all you
gonna.
need.
I'm just gonna do my. He's my best player performance of the week.
Go. Yep,
This
go.
is. And now, look, I realize it's coaching styles, perhaps. I realize he's not a flawless player, as much as I think he's very different type of player. I think laterally, he's got to get better. I think his shot has to improve from the 3-point line. Now, he's a kid that if he's open and he's stationary, he can hit that. Any movement, not yet, not consistently. They run a lot of actions for him to make decisions. He doesn't miss a beat. I mean, they play without one of their best shooters. And it didn't hurt that Swan went off. I mean, Swan, if either one could have been player of the game. I think if I'm a division, if I'm a low major coach, I coaching what I coach, which is just motion and entries into motion. I want Grady Carpenter on my team.
Yeah, I don't see where a school like Valpo couldn't use him.
See, but now you're talking about mid-major and you're talking about is he going to be able to guard? See, that's where the question comes, is what can he guard? And he's definitely defensively, he's a three. He has to be a three. That's where he maximizes his value.
He's 6'5".
6'6"
Six.
and long. He can pass with either hand. He can pass off the dribble, one-handed off the dribble. He doesn't. Again, he had two turnovers. I bet those only two turnovers he had. And I thought one of them was pretty bad. You know, they got rushed a little bit against McConaughey's pressure, backcourt pressure. You know, and if it was a one or two possession game, then okay, that's. It wasn't, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but now you start to wonder, okay, what happens? Do they really get, was he sped up? Can he get sped up? McConaughey wasn't able to really speed him up except for that one instance.
So he's listed as a point guard. Is he not? Is his future as a point guard? Is that what
No,
we think it's a small forward?
his future, he is Ethan Morton. He is, you play him at the three, you play him with two guards, and he now you have two primary ball handlers out there. Not unlike what IU tries to do with Galloway. Now through injuries, Galloway's had to play some point, but when they're fully healthy, he's out there with Cups or Xavier Johnson, and he brings a lot of times he'll bring it up. But he's not a, I mean, he's, look, you can be a primary ball handler, not be a point guard.
Just wondering how comparable he is to a kid like Braden Hobbs, who he similar size, great
Very,
passer.
very, very similar.
I think Braden shot the ball pretty well, so you're saying
No,
Braden needs to improve on that.
Braden shot the ball again, stationary, wide open.
Yeah.
Got a little quicker release as a senior, and he went to Division II school. So, right, Bellarmine.
At the time, yeah, they were Division Two. He,
Yeah, and they were a good Division II.
yeah, I think they won in his
Yeah,
senior year.
they were a good Division II. And the GLVC is, the toughest Division II conference in the country. And, even a school like that, we talk about not having a lot of D2 representation. Even a school like that, now they're Division I. So that's even more Division II schools that don't recruit Indiana. That Grady Carpenter doesn't have a Crossroads League offer is malpractice. Just say it. It's, what are you waiting on?
Sometimes some of these coaches think, oh, he's going to go to a bigger school, so I'm not going to waste an offer.
I get that, but it's a phone call.
Yeah.
It's, you're not,
He's a
not,
junior, right?
he is.
Sometimes they
But
just keep it quiet too.
well, we're nixing that crap. Just like with Miller from Scottsburg. No. We don't have to keep it quiet. And again, colleges that try to keep that quiet, they're not doing anybody any good. It's a little shady, I think.
What was the question I was going to ask?
Who would I take,
Jim.
Kohler or Carpenter?
I don't know. I mean, Kohler is
Well, you asked me that, and I said ask me that during the pod because that's kind of the discussion we're having, I guess. I mean, I would take Kohler,
Me at the
but
next level, I mean, yeah, right now, Kohler.
yeah, because he's the one getting high major offers. But the difference between him and Carpenter, now we'll see how much more Kohler develops physically. You know, we'll see where that goes.
Swan's shooting the heck out of the ball.
Shots, yeah,
50,
Swans.
jeez, 52% from three. He's already made 47 of them.
So here's the thing with Swan. And this group of Tipton kids, I don't know. This isn't a batch of kids that I know personally. So this is just pure basketball, not because these are guys who I know they're fan, you know, anything like that. He was their starting point guard as a freshman. And coming into his sophomore year, he was probably going to be the starting point guard for, you know, as a sophomore. And then the decision was just made that, and they probably, it was probably more shared last year than it was this year. But full blown now, Carpenter is their point guard. Now he plays with Swan and Money when Money's not at weddings. Two guards who can really shoot it. And Quigley, who's I gotta look up his first name. Sorry, Matt.
I just saw it, but now I
Whose
forgot.
dad I coached, which is how old I am. Crap.
Sam
Sam
Quigley, I think he
Quigley.
was 95. Is that right? Around that time?
Yeah, well, Daniel was 95.
Okay.
Matthew was older. But another shooter. And I didn't figure out who started in place of Money, if it was Quigley or Spidell. But Landon Spidell had 16 points. I guarantee every single one of them was an assist off of, everything was at the rim. And every single one of them was from Carpenter. When you think about Swan having to sacrifice probably the position he's going to play in college is the point, because he's a good passer too.
He's just got Hanover, is what we have anyway.
Yeah, and I and there's some athleticism questions there, but from a neck up, I mean, he's an excellent shooter, and from a neck up perspective, he's every bit, he's point guard you win games with.
I thought last year his assist numbers were pretty high.
Yeah,
Really high, really
and he's
high.
had to, and he's had to sacrifice.
Yeah.
But his dad comes up to me after the game. He goes, because I tweeted a couple times about Carpenter's assists or his passing. His dad came up after the game. He's like, "You're right. He's the best passer." And I told him the story that someone had posted somewhere. I saw something on Twitter that they thought Nolan Swan was the best passer in the state. And I'm like, shoot, he's not even the best passer in his team. And his dad laughed just like Zach did. Like, that's fair. I mean, that's just, I mean, he's got to be fun to play with. And everything comes out of his hands at the perfect pace. I mean, he throws some bullets, and there's some guys that make some great catches. Spidell dropped one pass, and it wasn't from Carpenter. I don't think he thought that pass was coming like it does from Carpenter. But I mean, Carpenter threw some bullets, and Spidell might have been, a couple of them might have been catch it or lose your head. But he throws those cross-court one-handed hooks that they teach, you know, that you see at the NBA level. He's got all that stuff. And I don't, and I know when I watch him play in the summer, he is not their primary ball handler. And knowing some of the kids he plays with, he just needs to be. That's my coaching tip of the summer for whoever's coaching that group next summer, Dustin or Brandon.
Now, was Kent running the point guard?
I don't think Carter was on that team last year.
Who are we talking about? What
Graham
team?
Park? Graham
Graham Park.
Park?
Yeah, he was on Grand Park with Colby Hall and Grady Carpenter.
Hold on. Let's find out. That's
That's
Carter. Well, Carter's not
100%.
on it now.
Okay.
Carter, Kudo. I don't think Carter's on it. I shouldn't say
Yeah,
that, but I.
Kudo was, yeah, he was on that team too.
Fine. Play Kudo. Play somebody else who can shoot it. Force guards to guard them and then have Grady bring it up. Problem solved. But yeah, I just super. I mean, I knew going in I was going to be impressed. And again, I should. I mean, Josiah Ball had a good game. Tipton was physical. They got a move in from a transfer from Noblesville, Ryan Tracy. He's been a nice add for them. They bring a freshman off the bench. And maybe Aller, I'm guessing Aller got more minutes this game than he has in the past because money wasn't there. But he looked like he belonged on a varsity court, at least enough to be part of a rotation. And you look at the guys that play. I mean, they're gonna lose Swan and the transfer from Noblesville, they'll lose money, but they got a lot of pieces back and they got good size in their JV. So Tipton's gonna be around for at least another year. I mean, they always got kids. It's Tipton.
I think we're the only guys that have Brownstown still number one in 2A as well.
Yeah, who asked me? One of you guys asked if I thought.
Yeah, that was me.
I mean, I've got Tipton sixth. What do we have them in our composite? Our composite, they're tied for third. So as much as I
Six,
love
huh?
them, well, Park Tudor. Park Tudor's got some good wins. Bishop Lures, Blackhawk Christian, Providence, and Brownstown. I see no reason to move Brownstown, Providence, or Blackhawk Christian down. I think Lures, I mean, you could, Wapahani seventh. Wapahani's number one, right? In everybody else's poll.
Yeah.
I mean, you could throw Blackhawk, Lures, Park Tudor, Tipton, and Wapahani in a bowl and pick one out and have just as much chance of just choosing who's going to win
I mean,
out of that group. I know
you
Park
take
Tudor goes
Jack Benner
south.
off of Brownstown, and they're still right there in the conversation, from what I've
Throw
seen.
them in the bowl then if the Bender's not playing.
No, I
No,
would
and if he is.
no, I would take I'd take Brownstown. The key there would be would they get past Providence? I think Providence and Brownstown separate themselves from the rest of the class. Because no team in 2A defends like Providence, period. And they've got enough weapons that they're gonna hit enough shots. I know sometimes it's a rock fight with them, but and the only thing is they're in the same section with Brownstown. Now, do I think teams have a better chance to beat Providence than I do a healthy Brownstown? Sure. But if you took Benner away, I guess we'll see how his foot goes the rest of the year, but you take Benner away, then
Yeah, up for grabs.
they're still good. They're still, I'd need to see them take a bad loss to a 2A team. Or well, maybe a 1A team and think that that lowers their chances. But all right, I'm done. We're encroaching nine, we're right at a little bit
Oh
under
boy.
90 minutes, so I'm done.
Already.
Well, we started at 10 after, so we're just a little, all
My
right, who's
player of the
got
week,
there you go.
I got Tucker Day. He was really good against Leo. He ended with 25. I initially tweeted 23. I got in the midst of that ending of the game. I forgot to add that last tip in at the buzzer.
Jeez.
Jeez.
Just cheating
Amateur
him.
stuff. This
Cheating
amateur
him.
stuff.
Cheating him.
Amateur.
Good
But
night.
I did correct it. But he ended with 25
Because
and
our stats matter.
Yeah.
all right. 25 points, 13 rebounds. He had a couple blocks in the paint that were really nice. Had some nice assists in the first half as well. He was just a force in the paint. He really was the difference maker. I think did he hit a shot from outside? Let's see. Yeah, he did hit a three. His outside shot's looking better. Just he looks like he's got more athletic, more fluid. Like I said, he was hurt a little bit last year for actually a decent part of the season. Then he was able to come back for Homestead, and but we just kind of, haven't seen much of him. But he was really impressive on Tuesday night. So I'm going with Tucker Day.
So when you say he's impressive in the post, Leo's got size, right?
Yep. Well, Brock Schott is a big time defensive end. He's about 6'3", 6'4", but he is
But yeah,
put
they've got
together.
size because
Yeah.
Jack's they're not short. Right, Zach? Or
Who?
Dominique?
Leo?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got
No,
some
their
size on there.
size, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good reference. 'Cause that's, there's gonna be, 1A. Look, Evansville Christian's got a little bit of size, Lutheran's got a little bit of size. I don't know about Greenwood. Tenley's got some size. Christian Academy has a little bit of size.
Up
Those are
north,
some.
I don't know about anyone having sight. I don't know if was the is Cowan considered north?
I don't know where they go, but
But I don't think anyone has much size up north, I don't think.
Morgan Township, they don't. I don't think they have a lot of size. All right.
All right. Yep, I'm gonna go to a game that I watched on stream. I'm gonna go with an unknown kid, Cade Kaiser. From Batesville, 6'4", 6'5", slasher, had 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 assists against Jacksonville in the semifinals of the Ripley County Tourney, and then in the final against Cole Henry in South Ripley, he put in 23 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. So I'm going Cade Kaiser, Batesville. He's really unknown, and he plays football and baseball in the spring, so I don't think he does much AAU basketball, but the kid is he's a good ball player.
Zach, you left. You got yours.
Yep. Brady Kohler, sticking with the same stuff. Talked about him. It was the first time I got to see him in person. It's awesome. Like I said, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, probably 3 or 4 blocks at least. 2 heads against the backboard. Also, I think I have my stat sheet. he was hitting inside buckets, hitting pull-up jumpers, finger rolls, threes. He's actually a decent passer too, I feel like, for his size. But those type of kids, I feel like, are usually point guards growing up, right? And have just morphed into what he is now. So Brady Kohler just got that Notre Dame offer too. We all think that's a good level for him, Notre Dame.
Yeah, offensively, I do. He'll have as he gets stronger and starts to work on quickness, like laterally. I mean, look, he's there's a reason why he looked really good last June, like June of 2022, and still didn't get much varsity time as a sophomore. Not that it's unusual for sophomores to get to not. To spend most of her time on JV, but it was the defensive end of the floor. I mean, he has certainly improved enough to be out there and to be relied upon. But then that college level is the next step. So that'll be the question. If he could just be a willing average defender, not be a net negative on that end of the floor, then offensively, he's going to be a kid that you're going to have to guard. Even if he's not, even if he doesn't do the stuff off the dribble in college that he's doing now. But that's another level of development. But I think as a catch and shoot guy, I think he's right there. That goes back to the question Patrick said, who'd rather have Carpenter or Kohler? And I was like, well, if I was at a low D1 school, I would take Carpenter and hope Kohler would transfer down to me. That's how I would play that.
I think I was just saying that, like, because I know you like both of them so well.
Yeah. Well, but it's yeah, it look, you got to really kind of overhaul what you do if you're going to put your hand your ball handling in the hands of a wing. You know, it's when you're at a high school, sometimes you kind of get locked, you definitely as a coach you get locked into players. You but when you're a kid, you're locked into whatever role you're given. You know, college gets I mean, Nolan Swan could be like, screw this, I'm gonna go play point somewhere, and could have left Tipton. I mean, not that that was ever an inkling in their minds, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice there, as I mentioned that earlier. But you know, if you don't see if you're a coach, you don't see Grady Carpenter as being able to be a primary ball handler in your league. Well, one, you're crazy, but two, you're probably not going to recruit him. You know, I just would figure out a way to get it done. Not that I would play him with two non-ball handlers or two non-good decision makers, but I definitely would make sure that he can do that. But Kohler, I think he fits everything. Anything you'd want offensively from a three. So.
Back to Tucker Day, Patrick. I'd say I think he'd fit nicely into the Crossroads League.
Breaking news, by the way. Don Carlisle will remain on administrative leave for the remainder of the school year, but will return in 24-25 as the school te as a teacher and varsity boys basketball coach at Ben Davis. He was placed on leave after an alleged assault on a student in September.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Some breaking news live.
That was broken by Rich Nye. I thought we were supposed to get this text before it was broken on Twitter. We've known about this for about a what, 10 days? Darn it. Can't say who's sending it to me either because I don't help anybody. But anyway,
Yeah, go ahead, Dominic.
Good for Don.
I said it. I think he's a crossroads, you know, an AI. I think that's what the level he got
Oh,
at
Tucker
earlier.
Day. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I forgot.
What is he, about 6'9", 6'8"?
About 6'7", six, yeah, six, around there, 6'7". I think he'd be a nice fit at that level.
All right. Any surprises this week?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, let me go real quick. I'm going to go with Corydon over Floyd Central. Big
Zach,
surprise down here.
I know, Zach, we just throw this stuff at you every
Yeah,
week.
just what
Like, we don't
the
do the same thing
heck?
every week.
I thought you were going to take another one, Patrick, that
No,
Jennings County.
you mentioned it, so I'm going to save that one for you.
What was it again? I'm
I
sorry. I'm still
mentioned
dealing with this Don Carlisle stuff.
Corydon over Floyd Central.
Okay.
Yeah, Corydon was 6-7 and had a couple losses to like Madison. That's the really only their bad loss, but still, after watching Floyd beat Southwestern and then Corydon coming around at Floyd Central and getting the win in overtime, that was shocking.
So I was the only one that got our locks right last week.
Yep.
Delta did not beat New Pal, correct?
Correct.
Valpo lost to Portage.
Well,
That's so that took
Argus lost to Bethany Christian.
Argus lost to Bethany Christian. We got to do your homework, Zach.
Jesus.
Peace.
And then Zionsville came back and beat Brebeuf, and I had tipped over Maconaqua.
Are we unlocked? Oh, we're on
Yeah, we're
surprise.
on. No, we're on surprises.
I got
Yeah, we're on surprises. Why are you giving us locks, Patrick?
I didn't give you a lock.
Who?
I said
Oh,
Corydon over Floyd Central.
that was your surprise. Okay, my
Yeah.
bad. Yeah, you
Jeez.
don't have to have a surprise if you do.
Over there reading Don Carlisle breaking news.
Yeah.
I'd say it's pretty
Tuning everything
important.
else out. Oh, quorum touchdown. Uh-oh, 27-13.
Obviously Jennings County. I think it's pretty obvious. That's pretty beating Brownstown.
Yeah, that would have been mine. Although I don't look, anytime a 4A beats a 2A, I'm not too shocked. I mean, if Carmel, if Brownstown comes up and loses to Carmel, I'm not going to be surprised. If they win, I'm not going to be surprised. If I mean, if Brownstown wins, either way, I'm not going to be surprised. I mean, that's
And
coming up
then
Saturday.
I wanted to talk about, and I didn't want to talk about it, I just wanted to mention quick, Avon. I thought their week was awesome, beating
Yeah.
Brownsburg in three overtimes after they lost to them by 17 earlier in the year, and beating a really good Plainfield team, and then undefeated previously Danville team.
Bumping
Beat
them.
them pretty good, yeah.
Yeah,
So
not letting down.
I thought that was pretty impressive, or I guess, kind of a
It's a
surprise
surprise.
beating Brownsburg like that, and then, three overtimes, and then Plainfield, that's tough, and then Danville, so that's great week for them.
I mean, they were viewed no better than third. And then depends on what you thought about Danville playing, the bigger boys. Danville
Yeah.
gets the great draw. Although it's, I mean, it could have been Cascade versus Tri-West, but that's, that's the, Danville definitely got the better end of that with Brownsburg, Plainfield, and Avon all on the other half. So, yeah, I think my surprise was, I don't know that I really had a surprise. Nothing stood out too much. All right, locks. We got Kyler's. Kyler's lock is Cathedral over Garen Catholic. Patrick, what's your lock?
Now you guys go ahead. I got to think about this a minute. I got a couple here, but
All
I
right,
got
Concord over Plymouth. Concord over Plymouth.
to see which team I want to jinx this week. Oh
I'm going
boy.
to pick Lawrence North to win the Marion County tournament. So that's Laura. So I'm picking four wins for the price of one.
Is that like a
You're
real
picking the
big
undefeated
deal?
number one team.
Well, I mean, there's still Ben Davis. There's still,
Still some good teams in there. But
yeah. I mean,
it's certainly not an upset pick. Yeah,
Warren
can I pick
Central. No,
Richmond over Madison?
it's not a called upsets. It's called locks. I mean, Warren Central's gave him a tough game earlier in the year. Decatur Central's kind of finally getting some of their legs underneath them from football. Lawrence North will play Lawrence Central. That's never like necessarily an easy game.
Speedway in that tournament? What tournament Speedway usually in it?
Speedway's in the
Marion County, right?
Marion County one, that's right.
Yeah, they're in the county. They play Roncalli. For some reason, Park Tudor's in city. No, they're not. For some reason, hold
They're
on.
in Marion County.
For some reason, Heritage Christian's in the city. I'm not sure why they are. I think because Marion County had a nice round number of 16 teams, and they just haven't made a change in forever. But yeah, Heritage Christian's in the city. Same with Chatard. The Chatard one kind of puzzling too because they're technically in Washington Township. So,
Portage over Lake Central.
that's yours.
Whoa,
Yeah,
I like it.
that's a good one.
I'm there if the snow holds up. Doesn't hold up.
Right, Patrick, come on.
Give
me Lures over Blackhawk.
That's gonna be a good game. All right, where are we
Think it's
going
at
this week?
Blackhawk too.
That Lures.
Okay. Even better.
Where are we going this week? What games are we watching?
I'll be there. We just talked about
Lures
Lures,
and
Blackhawk,
Blackhawk.
Saturday.
And I'll be at Lake Central Portage Friday.
I'll be Marion County semifinals on Friday. That's always kind of the
Gotta
lowdown,
be
one of the,
there.
huh?
Gotta be there.
Yeah, well, lowdown, one of the best nights of basketball you'll have all year. And Carmel Brownstown on Saturday. Figure out some way to squeeze in Tinley and Gary West, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Isn't
I got
that what we're
to.
saying?
Yeah. Yep.
Where do they play that tournament?
Oh wait, is it tournament?
No, your thing, the
Oh,
Marion County.
Southport.
Oh,
Southport.
Southport.
The
Okay,
semifinals and
everything's there.
finals. No, just the semifinals.
Got
So
it. Yep.
here's, yeah, so those listening from home, they're all tomorrow or yeah, Tuesday. By the time you listen, this will be Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday are played at school, like at just one of the schools.
Yep.
Then Wednesday, It'll be it'll be at Beech Grove or Park Tudor, at Perry Meridian or Pike, at Southport or Franklin Central, at Roncalli or Speedway. That's Wednesday. And then obviously the other halves of those teams, those matchups will also be determined tomorrow night, if that makes sense. So, and then Friday, Saturday are always at Southport. So if Southport wins tomorrow night at Franklin Central, they would in essence then have three home games next, well, three rounds at Southport, if that makes sense. So.
Tuesday, I'm going to Silver Creek at Christian Academy. That's Kaysen Dager against Joshua Renfro, two of the best shooters south of Indy. That's tomorrow night. Saturday, man, there's a lot of games. There's Providence at Jeff is a good one. Scottsburg at New Albany is another good one. So one of those two on Saturday night.
All right, guys. Well, good job. We'll talk later. Thanks. We'll see you by next week.